KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Vietnam, an interview, a live performance and book release event on Saturday, August 9th, 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1034 Southwest 13th Avenue in Portland. The presentation will feature live original music, music videos, dramatic readings, and a discussion with the producers. That's Vietnam, an interview, in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Tonkin Gulf Resolution, Saturday, August 9th, 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Saving the planet and money on your electricity bill? And creating millions of good jobs? Celebrate the just-completed solar power electricity installation at the Musicians Union Hall on Sunday, August 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. You'll have a chance to see the rooftop solar unit. Learn about how you can do it on your home or business. There will be food, children's games, displays, and lots of music from the likes of Dave Rovix. Again, that's Sunday, August 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Musicians Union Hall, 320 Northeast 20th in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Again, sun is on my face, solar panels in place, catching solar rays.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 5th, 2014, and in Gaza, the carnage continues despite this talk of humanitarian ceasefires. There's nothing remotely humanitarian about anything that Israel has done to date. This is far worse than previous adventures that the Israelis have launched into Gaza. That said, you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Steve Horn. Don't know whether there are any of you caught it, but there was an amazing interview. It was on Real News, and it was aired in a number of different places. Interview with Steve Horn and Joe Smyth from Greenpeace, talking about the EPA's efforts to rein in carbon emissions what would make such a plan work and what would make it fail. This past Sunday, activists at the opening ceremony of the Great Plains Tar Sands Resistance Action Camp in Oklahoma formed a united front against the Keystone XL pipeline. We reported on that yesterday. That protest continues. Indigenous people are standing shoulder to shoulder in solidarity to stop the XL from going through, though it is really the poster child for so many other of these efforts to dissect the country. Talk about redistricting. That's where the real redistricting is taking place, is via pipelines across the center of the nation. And along with Roots Action and a coalition of other press freedom groups, there's a petition that has been set up to the Justice Department demanding that they drop the dangerous pursuit of James Ryson. This is heating up. There is a petition. You can go and sign it. Go to Roots Action. It's all there, everything you need to know. If you don't know who James Ryson is, well past time to get up to speed, especially if you care about freedom of the press. This man has been a beleaguered journalist who has done some of the most extraordinary, courageous work in the field, is now looking at a possible jail sentence. And there's a saying in the permaculture community, agriculture causes people, meaning that cheap food encourages mindless reproduction and consumption. And the toxins, apparently, that contaminated the water supply of the city of Toledo leaving 400,000 people without access to safe drinking water for 2 days. It was produced by a massive algae bloom. And guess what produced the algae bloom? That's right, agribusiness, phosphorus and fertilizers used by these massive farms. Of course, one of these colorless, tasteless, and indeed faceless when you try to track down the people responsible. Water problems in the Great Lakes, that's the world's largest freshwater system, have spiked in the last 3 years and continues to worsen. A couple of weeks ago, the House as well as the Senate passed a unanimous resolution basically giving Israel a blank check in dealing with the Palestinians in Gaza. It was unanimous, not one dissent, including the 40-plus black members of Congress. There's a deep history and a profound black critique of Israeli racial behavior. So what's different this time? It goes most dramatically back only 30 years to the Free South Africa movement, when Israel was accused correctly, of collaborating closely with South Africa, helping South Africa develop an atomic bomb, being in a deep partnership militarily with South Africa. And Israel was routinely denounced by student activists and older, more established black politicians at that time. You hear none of that today. Now, we're moving right along. The Environmental Protection Agency is in its final phase of public hearings on the proposed Clean Power Plan. The plan looks to cut carbon dioxide, greenhouse gas emissions from American power plants by 30% by 2030. Recently, the interview with Steve Horn and Joe Smyth was aired, and it was quite extraordinary. Joining us this morning is Steve Horn, once again, an amazing contributor to Air Cascadia, and we're very grateful to him for that, to talk a little bit about some of the issues that arose in the course of the interview, and what are some of the aspects and issues here that we ought to be taking a very close look at. And good morning. So thank you so much, Steve, for joining us once again. We're very, very
thanks for having
grateful
me.
Grateful to you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Well, this interview, some of the things that you meant that came up. This was with Jessica DeVaria. This was the Real News Network producer. And this plan, what are some, what we want to talk about, I guess, is what are some of the flaws here? It's very difficult for me to see how this administration or any other is really going to stand up against, for example, the agribusiness problems that we see in the Great Lakes right now. How do we hold the people responsible? How are they to be held accountable? And this is 2030. This stretches over future administrations. That in America has traditionally failed. How will it be different this time around?
Well, yeah. So in the interview, we talked about how basically nothing really changes in terms of the production of coal in the ground, and how the Bureau of Land Management has served as a key facilitator of continuing to give leases to the coal industry for production while they ship that stuff abroad. We talked about that last week on the show. Some other things that were unpacked in the interview I think are just as important is that the BLM doesn't just do coal. The BLM also does offshore oil and gas. And so this month they're going to lease off 21.6 million acres of oil and gas off the shore of Texas and the U.S.-Mexico border off in a vacation/tourist hotspot in Port Isabel/South Padre Island, which is a place I actually recently visited at the end of last year. And so that, you know, that's a place that, you know, was off limits for a long time, but now that they've tapped into a lot of the oil and gas elsewhere, that's a new place. And so the BLM is just a really key facilitator, and it's all being done under the name of all of the above energy policy for the Obama administration. Importantly, what I said in the interview, I think, is that we have to start seeing it as exporting all of the above, because a lot of this coal is going to be, most of it actually is going to be exported to the global market as these power plants switch to being powered by natural gas. And this, the oil and gas is now starting to be exported. So we're looking at LNG exports. The third permit was handed down last week by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in Freeport, Texas. It was a facility owned by, or it is a facility owned by ConocoPhillips, Dow Chemical, and others. And so that's happening at the same time as oil exports are starting to be, the ban that's been in place since the 1970s is now being lifted a little bit through something called oil condensate. And that the first permit was given for that just recently. And that's really only being, unfortunately, written about. All this stuff is mostly just being talked about in the business press. So you're not going to hear a lot about it from a lot of the progressive media and a lot of the environmental media that is out there championing the Obama energy plan. But this is the carbon rule, the EPA carbon rule. So while they're championing that, we're celebrating that, all this other stuff is happening at the very same time. And I think that's important.
Yeah, can you go into that a little bit more about some of the what has been overlooked by the more progressive media? Because this was an amazing interview. I read the transcript a couple of times. You mentioned it, that there's a part of a larger trend that you weren't surprised by this study's findings.
Right.
And some of the, could you speak to some of the other studies that have come up with similar?
Well, sure. And so you know, I'm not surprised by this. That's because most of what I read is not in the kind of the echo chamber of environmental groups that are out there celebrating this Obama carbon rule. Instead, I'm reading This is routine stuff in the business press day after day. If you're an environmentalist, you read what the business press is writing about it, the investor press. It's pretty devastating stuff from a climate change perspective and from an ecological perspective. Day after day, permits are being handed down and millions of acres are being sold off basically by the Obama administration, or exports are being permitted. And this is not, I mean, to me, it's not surprising. I read about it every day in publications like Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal or the Oil and Gas Journal or LNG Global. All these publications are talking about it because they're speaking directly to investors who make investment decisions based on these political decisions by the Obama administration. So to me, that's why I said it wasn't surprising. But I think to a lot of people who are really only hearing about how the Obama administration made this bold, brave move to put regulations on coal-fired power plants, to them that would be pretty surprising to see at the same time as this is happening. All these other things are also happening that I would say basically nullify and make the carbon rule a moot point.
There's no way of once this is offshore, once it's been exported and the ink's dry, there's
absolutely
no way
not
of regulating it.
There are some things that can be regulated in terms of making drilling a little bit safer, things on the margins that maybe could prevent massive spills. But in terms of the actual climate change impacts, once the carbon is being lifted out of the ground and then shipped to market somewhere, that greenhouse gas footprint isn't gonna go away.
What would happen then if let's see, we've got about one more minute. If the market for these types of fuels collapsed entirely, other countries, though the greed is still the need and the greed and these massive populations are still there. There is a demand right now. There have been murmurs and rumblings about the collapse of this aspect of the energy market that would likely take down markets worldwide.
Well, I think it speaks to the fact that no matter what happens with any given single country, because oil and gas and coal and all these other commodities work on a global market, there needs to be a global agreement that happens through the United Nations, through all these annual climate summits that happen that just end up being dog and pony shows of the United States and powerful countries do nothing and leave, you know, the third world and the global south, they leave them hanging for, they'll feel the ravages of climate change first. Those summits there needs to be a global agreement that's strong. If not, this will just continue as each country does piecemeal reforms, but the global commodity market for these commodities still exist, and the climate change problem still exists at the same time.
We'll be posting a link to this interview, which I think is incredibly important for people to take a look at. Do you want to give us any other resources? Of course, there's the Disembark blog, which we all love. Is there anything else that you would commend our listeners' attention to?
I would say on August 21st, I believe, that's when the Bureau of Land Management is doing that lease of that 21.6 million acres of offshore oil and gas in New Orleans. I would recommend keeping an eye on that.
And I cannot thank you enough for joining us once again at short notice on an incredibly important interview. Take a look at it. It's, of course, my guest today, Steve Horn with the Disembark blog, and sourced all over the place, as well as Joe Smythe with Greenpeace. This just came out, and we'll put a link to it on the website. This has been Cascadia 4. Tuesday, August 5th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. One final last note. Israel today quoted official Israeli politicians as saying that the UN Commission of Inquiry will be more damning than the Goldstone Commission report issued by a similar committee in the aftermath of the aggression on Gaza at the end of 2008. Even Netanyahu is beginning to quake in his 10-gallon panties over what is heading for the International Criminal Court right now, even as we speak.
Flashpoints, a young father whose cousin was killed on camera by an Israeli sniper is locked down and unable to take his 14-month-old son to the clinic. And a California assemblyman returns from a trip to Central America and Mexico to find out